And when we talk about persecution, that's kind of a really broad, broad-ranging thing. What specifically, what kind of persecution are the Christians facing there? What's the risk of following Christ in these regions?
Yeah, so a few years ago when ISIS really started taking power, they had put out this kind of decree that said either you're going to convert to Islam or you need to flee the country immediately, like right now you need to flee, or you have to pay like this crazy exorbitant amount of money, which was just, you know, sort of irrational type of number. So those were kind of their options up front that they were given. So then after that, a lot of things started happening. For example, there's one partner that we work with, and him and his father are ministers in this area, and everyone knows that they're the go-to, they're the pastors of the village. And so one of the militants actually broke into the father's house and said, you know, you have to pay us this money right now or you have to flee. They gave him that option. And he said, you know that I work in ministry. I don't have this type of money. It's this way too high. I have nothing to give. And of course, I'm not going to convert. And so at this, he said, you know what? I'm tired of you. I'm not even giving you the opportunity to leave. I'm just going to kill you now. And so he actually goes to pull the trigger on this pastor, and the gun just completely stops working. There's nothing that happens. So of course the militant just kind of freaks out, says, fine, we're coming back for you tomorrow. And you better have the money at that point, or we really are going to kill you. So then at that point they leave, and then they actually end up fleeing to a nearby country. But that was one example. We've heard lots of stories of how they're trying to kidnap a lot of the believers, whether they're young or they're old. They're trying to kidnap them in order to get ransom money. So that's one way that ISIS is continuing to be fueled, is through getting money, through trying to receive back people that have been kidnapped. So those are kind of some, I would say, like external type of things that are happening. And then internally, just the continual battle and the fight of dying to self and living for Christ in the midst of that.
What's the biggest lesson that you've personally learned working with these national Christians on the ground? What have they taught you in your time with them?
Well, it's really interesting, because I think anyone can, you know, testify to this, of when you leave America and when you start working with other people from different cultures and different contexts, you start to see, you know, your own culture and context in a different light. So here in America, I would say we definitely love our comfort and we definitely love our security. Those are, you know, two gods, if you will, in our life, you know, whether or not we choose them, it just kind of is the way it is here. So for me, just to walk alongside the believers in comfort and security is totally not something that's even on their radar, I think, has been a huge thing for me. Another thing is just, you know, in the Bible, when we read as believers here in America, when we read about loving our neighbors, of course, but loving our enemies and giving not only our cloaks, but our garments and all of our time and our resources and things it's a radical thing that Jesus talks about, really loving our enemies and loving those who hurt us and persecute us and turning the other cheek. I mean, when we really think about that, I think here in America, it's like, okay, yeah, I'll be nice to my coworker who, you know, said a mean comment to me, which it hurts and it's a legitimate concern. But then you see these believers and they're loving ISIS. Like they're saying, I forgive these horrible people that are killing my children. Or, you know, I genuinely forgive them for, you know, whatever the tremendous, you know, grief they've been through. They just have a lot of forgiveness. So I think reading the scriptures and those radical teachings of Jesus, and then being able to see these believers actually living it out, it's like, you know, it's not humanly possible for them to be able to forgive and to love. It has to be the Holy Spirit. So that's what I would say.
Wow. Katie Hirth also asked the question, why do Christians stay in these hotspot regions where there is the persecution? What's keeping them there? Why aren't they just, you know, fleeing?
Yeah, it's definitely, there's a pull, you know, there's when we see out of our fleshly eyes, we want to take care of our family and our children, and we want to be in a place that that is safe and stable. So they definitely are human in that they desire those things. And yet at the same time, they very much are lovers of the Lord Jesus. So they want to fulfill a purpose and a plan and a calling that they've that he has called them to. And so in wrestling with both of these, you know, they come to this point where they say, Lord, do you want us to stay here in the midst of trauma, in the midst of tremendous evil, in order to be your light in the midst of this darkness? Do you want us to stay and do that? Or do you want us to flee and you'll use us in some other way? And so, there's one story to make it really short. There was sort of one of the main pastors. He had called 10 of his, you know, disciples per se together and said, you know what? I know the war is getting really bad here and it's getting dangerous. I know one of your sons was kidnapped. I know it's getting dangerous. So I would like us to fast and for us to pray this week and ask the Lord, do you want us to stay here in the midst of war, or should we leave? And so they fasted and prayed for a week. And this head, you know, pastor was like, okay, when we meet back together, is anyone going to be here? Or am I going to be the only one that's going to be here? And to his surprise, that night he was there waiting, and 10 of them came back, and they also brought 5 other believers to stay in the midst of war and to minister to the hurting and the aching. So, I mean, wow, amazing, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like the Holy Spirit is just moving and convicting in their hearts and opening their eyes to these spiritual opportunities that they just feel compelled to stay.